Okay. You have heard me say this term, major gifts ramp up, several times. Your board, at the end of December, unanimously voted to invite a cooperation and integration and work with an organization called National Association of Nonprofit Organizations and Executives to work with us on a major gift campaign, major donor gift campaign. And our team leader is Louis Fawcett. And he has been with us since yesterday afternoon. He was at Dining in the Dark last night. He has been my captive all morning and walking around with me and talking with me about our organization. He's seen our convention, was in the exhibit hall, and walked in on some of the meetings, was at one of our luncheons. So he's being steeped in the CCB culture. And with that kind of information, he will be able to really help us design our major gifts campaign. But I wanted him to have a chance to visit with you to explain what we're going to be doing so that you understand what it is and how it works. And with that, it gives me great pleasure to introduce Louis Fawcett.
Thank you, Judy. And I want to bring all of you greetings from South Carolina. For some reason, people think I have an accent. I don't know why you think I do, but I am from South Carolina, and I love visiting California. Of course, you have a beautiful state, especially the wine region. And so Judy and I are already making plans to go visit some of our favorite wineries. So it's just an honor to be here with you. I wanted to share with you a little bit about my background so that you know my heart, and then talk about the Major Gifts Ramp Up model for fundraising. I grew up in Virginia. I have 3 degrees and served for 11 years as a Lutheran pastor in North Carolina, South Carolina, and Florida. And my problem is that I'm not very patient. And so in church work, it requires a lot of patience. And I love church work, I love church folks, but I got too impatient. And so I moved over into the nonprofit world because then I was able to help people and also move forward at a very fast pace in that work. So I started out working for an international adoption agency, helping kids in China, Russia, and Ethiopia. And in 2008, at the height of the Great Recession, we raised $1 million to build a children's home in Ethiopia. And then I went to work after the earthquake in Haiti. I went to work for an organization there helping with school children and children with special needs in Haiti. We had 3 schools, an orphanage, and 5 feeding programs. So I raised money all over the United States for that work there. And then I spent 4 years working for an educational institution in South Carolina called Adventure. We had after-school programs for kids, literacy programs, and the largest children's museum in the Southeast. And now it's my honor to go around the country and work with organizations like California Council of the Blind to build capacity to further your mission so that your work with blind and low vision folks in California can go deeper and more broadly than you've ever gone before. I have really enjoyed being with you for the last 24 hours, and I'm looking forward to more time with you in the months to come. I want to let you know that you have inspired me very much. I 24 hours ago, I hadn't met any of you in person. I've talked extensively over the phone with Paul and Judy, but had not met you all before. And being here with you and being immersed in your community has been very inspiring. And the reason I say that is because part of what we're going to be doing over the next 12 to 14 months is bringing on other people who may not know anything about California Council of the Blind, but who have capacity to help. And in the same way that you have inspired me, I'm sure that you will inspire others as well. So the Major Gifts Ramp-Up model is 27 years in the making. We have used it to work with over 480 organizations to raise over $900 million. You may know that corporations and foundations are great sources of funding, but you may not know that 80% of philanthropy in the United States comes from individuals and family foundations. The precise breakdown is 72% from individuals and then another 8% from family foundations, which are, you know, controlled by one or two people. So the focus of our work, while we will include corporations and foundations in this work, the focus will be on individual households. So we will be working through the 13 steps in this model, and I want to go through those for you now, and then we'll have time for questions after this. So the first step in the model is called management philosophy, and it is simply this. The organization making donors a priority in your mission. Most nonprofits in the U.S., spend so much time serving clients, which is wonderful work, and they're so passionate about their programs and their services and their advocacy, that they forget that donors are part of their mission too. So in the same way that California Council of the Blind serves its members and all of the folks in California who are blind or have low vision, there also needs to be a shift to serve your donors because you're helping them as well. You're helping them achieve their goals for their communities in California. So that is the first step in the model, and your board has already helped to make that shift to including donors as part of your mission and your focus, and that shift helps you put more of a time priority on donors. The second step in the model is major gifts, and it is prioritizing major gifts. And when I say use the term major gift, that's different for each organization, but for our purposes, a major gift will be anything $10,000 and higher. You know, we live in a world where people think they can raise money on social media or at banquets or golf tournaments or 5K runs or whatever kind of event or outing they can come up with. And while those things do raise money in the short term, they end up being a lot of work for not that much money, and they don't form long-term relationships with donors. The approach that we're going to use, on the other hand, is an approach that listens to donors. It is focused on their needs and goals for their communities, and then we figure out how we can help them achieve their goals through their gift. Chapter 3 is organizational development, and that's when we look at the resources that an organization has on hand, the time and the talents. We look at the staff resources, the board resources, and we determine who are the key folks who are going to be involved in this major gifts campaign. Then we spend a lot of time on Chapter 4, Case for Support. I know that you've already done some work on Case for Support. We're going to continue to take a look at how you have framed your argument. And here is the goal. It is for California Council of the Blind to be able to describe your mission in 60 seconds or fewer, and use that as an opportunity then to go deeper with donors. So once you get them interested in a very succinct, short description of your work, then you also will have a wealth of material to also share with folks along the way. The case for support looks at your nearly 85 years of history of working in California. It celebrates that and describes that work. It also has key testimonies about the work of CCB. But the case for support also lays out a 3-year budget for all of the operational costs that are needed over the next 3 years, and all of the one-time project expenses. All of this is laid out in a very clear, compelling, concise document that can be used for you as members, but also for the donors with whom we'll be interacting. Chapter 5 is the 18-month advancement calendar. So one of the first things that I will do with Paul and Judy and some members of the board is we'll lay out the next 18 months of all the things that have to happen in order to raise the money we need to raise. And so at this point, you can see that when we go to donors with a case for support document that describes your history as well as the new projects that are coming down the road, when we go to them with a 3-year budget, and when we go to them with an 18-month calendar that is a fundraising plan, this inspires donors. It gives them confidence, and it also gives them inspiration to support your work. Chapter 6 is prospect identification. We use a product called DonorScope, and it interfaces with Experian, the credit reporting agency. And through DonorScope, we have the names and addresses of all of the millionaires in the United States. And so we will use this product called DonorScope. We'll define a geographic area on which we want to draw from, and that will help us identify prospects to give to California Council of the Blind. Then we will work together to have a non-fundraising awareness event. This is Chapter 7. The non-fundraising awareness event is where we will gather millionaires, we will gather prominent members of the community, we will gather members of CCB into a luncheon that typically happens on a Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday. And this will be about an hour and 15 minutes to inspire people about the work of CCB. It will not be for fundraising. We will not be making an ask that day other than this. At the end of that event, we'll ask one thing. We will say to everyone there that if you have been inspired by what you've heard today, we would like the opportunity to visit with you personally. Now, if you're a numbers person, I'll tell you how the numbers will go. And these numbers bear out over and over again in every campaign that we do. We will compile a list of roughly 2,500 households, 2,500 households. We'll invite those folks to this non-fundraising awareness event. Out of those 2,500 households, we will get about 125 households to that event. Out of those 125 households, we will identify roughly 80 of them to whom we can make an ask for CCB. And out of those 80 households, we will get 40 to 50 yeses for CCB. And those 40 to 50 yeses will make up the entirety of the campaign. So all of the work that we're going to be doing over the next 14 to 16 months is really going to focus on about 40 to 50, mainly families, but some corporations and foundations, who will fund your work for the next 3 years. After the non-fundraising awareness event, which happens at about the 6-month mark, so this for you all will be late October, early November, we will then visit with the folks who attended that event. We'll listen to them first and foremost to hear about their concerns, about their goals for their community, and then we will help them see how CCB helps them achieve their goals. Then chapter 9, we'll have a signature event, which works out perfectly to do what we did last night, dining in the dark. And so we will work on doing that again next spring, and we'll bring in more dollars through that event. We will work together to, this is chapter 10, to seat a campaign cabinet. The campaign cabinet is made up of 15 prominent individuals who will be involved in asking for major gifts to the campaign. Then we will conduct campaign interviews, which is simply the process of getting to know those donors, visiting with them in their place of business or their homes to listen to them. That's chapter 11. And then chapter 12 is making an ask of those donors. We'll ask them to contribute to the operational needs of CCB and then the one-time project or capital needs of CCB over the next 3 years. And these will be multi-year commitments that people will make over a 3, 4, or 5 year period. And then chapter 13 is campaign success, where we celebrate the success of this campaign and all of the impact that we're going to be making in California. And then we begin to look into the future once again at the work that is to come. I will let you, if you're curious about success rate, I'll go ahead and tell you that the success rate is roughly a third, a third, a third. So there are a third of organizations who are never able to get going with Major Gifts Ramp Up for one reason or another. Then there are a third of organizations who have raised more money than they've ever raised in the past, but they don't get to campaign goal. The reason they don't get to campaign goal is because they get caught up somewhere in the model. They relax. They take their foot off the gas pedal, and they don't follow up with all the donors with whom they've been connected. And then there are a third of organizations who work all the way through the model, and they meet or exceed their goal simply because they followed the model as it is presented. They just did the hard work that needs to be done. There's nothing magical about fundraising. It is simply doing the work that is before us. I, again, will tell you that I was inspired by your work last night. I know that others will be inspired. And the reason I know this is because I was intending to come to this event and spend time with you all simply to observe and simply to get ready for this campaign. But I was inspired last night, and I made a gift. Your auctioneer inspired me to give $100. Which I know is not a lot of money, but here's my point. I don't have anyone that I'm to whom I'm immediately connected who's blind or has low vision. I haven't experienced in the past what I experienced over the last 24 hours, but I was inspired. And if you can inspire me, then I know good and well you will be able to inspire 40 to 50 families who will make a difference for CCB. So with that, I'm happy. I think we have a few minutes. I'm happy to answer some questions. Nicole is going to bring the microphone to you.
Thank you very much for speaking about this. My name is David. I'm from San Francisco chapter. I wanted to ask you more about how you researched your demographics, and will it just be here in the state, or will it be throughout the country?
It will primarily be in California, although there may be people from other parts of the country who are connected with someone in California who is blind or has low vision. But for the most part, it will be here in California. I'll be working with Paul and Judy and the board to determine that geography. So that will be from the DonorScope file, from the Experian database that we have of all the millionaires. But we will also look at other prominent boards like the United Way, hospital foundations, community foundations, and we'll invite some of those folks to the non-fundraising awareness event. And we'll also be just looking for natural connections that we already have. You know, some of your exhibitors that I met this morning, for instance, will have some important connections for us in California. Some of the artists that you all have met over the last couple of days will have some important connections. So we'll be drawing on all of our network of support in California to come up with a list of invitees to the non-fundraising awareness event.
Louis, can I, will somebody turn on my mic? Can I just add here? Basically, David, we're going to work first in the Sacramento area because that's where our offices are based. That's where Paul has most of his connections. And that's where we're going to start. But here's the key. Once we do this, once, you know, go through this 18-month cycle, get this major funding cycle through, then we can go to anywhere else in the state we want and replicate the whole thing again. We'll know how to do it. So it'll be self-fulfilling. Does that make sense? Is that okay, Louis? Did I say that right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. More questions?
Hi, it's Karen Schroeder. I just have two quick questions that I've heard from different people locally. One is about the donors that we're talking about. How do we find out what donors' goals are and what in the world do the donors want to accomplish by donating? And then the other question is, have you worked with an organization like ours that actually encompasses the an entire state?
Thank you. Okay, so one of the ways we figure out what donors have in their as part of their goals and their portfolio of giving is they show up for the non-fundraising awareness event. So they self-qualify. We send them an engaging invitation that talks about CCB and your work. We invite them to this luncheon, and they show up. So already we know that we're on their radar screen. But in addition to that, we'll be listening. Listening is the most underrated part of fundraising, and it is the most important part of fundraising. So we ask a lot of questions about, and we do a lot of research about, you know, to what organizations have they given in the past? You know, do they have someone in their life that is blind or low vision? And so it's through research and listening that we determine their goals. Now, in terms of working with statewide organizations, absolutely. We work with some national organizations. And we work with different organizations that are regional or statewide. I'm working with two Habitat for Humanity affiliates right now. I'm working with a national organization that is helping kids overseas get medical care here in the United States. And so we work with organizations of all sizes in all different geographic territories.
Hello, this is Albert Contreras. I just want to say here that last night, without realizing it, I met Lewis, and he gave me a little bit of a hand when it came to taking a picture, and just his overall personableness. I just got a really great feeling from him, and I just want to say to you, Lewis, I am glad you're working with us. I just have such a great feeling about you, and I just want to thank you for your little bit of help that you gave me. Thank you.
Thank you, Albert.
I'm just going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we're waiting for our Uber representative, Austin Hayworth, is stuck in traffic downtown. And we're also waiting for Leslie to come in from Vanda. So so these people are coming in, but until then, we've got time for questions.
Yeah, we're going to get to the side of the room.
I heard artists.
Yep.
No,
yeah, there's one over here on the other side.
All right, if we can, if our volunteer knows who was first, Artis will get to you.
Hi, my name is Lisa Presley-Thomas. I'm familiar with the model that you just explained. I have maybe a two-part question. I've seen various portfolio givings in the past, you know, direct IRA contributions, just straight hard cash. These donors that you're pursuing, what type of funds would they be providing? Is it just a direct cash to our organization, or is it through other asset avenues?
Thank you for asking. Yes, it's a mix. You're exactly right. So for operational commitments, you know, we'll ask them to make a three-year commitment that is usually a cash commitment. For one-time capital costs or special projects, those tend to be larger gifts that may come in the form of a multi-year commitment, cash commitment, but it also may come in the form of appreciated stock or from the sale of real estate or business. And then we'll also include estate planning as well. So it may be that, people choose to give from their estate or from life insurance, make commitments in that way. So we look at the whole range of giving opportunities there.
Question over here. This is Bonnie. Two questions. Are these people accustomed to or accepting of the fact that you got their names from Experian? It just seems a little different to us low-income people that would be okay with them. And the other unrelated one is, how is this informational lunch paid for? That's a lot of money to buy people lunch. Thanks.
Thank you for asking those two things. So the Experian list is all publicly available data. It's just compiled by Experian. So it is information that we could find in other places if we wanted to. But it just happens to be conveniently compiled for us through DonorScope interfacing with Experian. Very similar to other things you may get in the mail from real estate agents or from other folks who are sending mail to you wanting your business. Obviously, the return on simply the DonorScope file, the return on that list is low, but we don't need many people from that list to come. Just a few make a big difference. Now, in terms of the lunch, the lunch is very simple. I just did a lunch for Habitat for Humanity. We had boxed lunches from Jimmy John's and iced tea. So, you know, this is not a fancy lunch. We're not trying to impress people with food. We will work with the venue, with the restaurant, with sponsors, and we'll either get the event underwritten or we will get it at a very low cost. So in terms of the cost of the luncheon, you know, as a ballpark figure, you can think about, you know, $15 per person total times 150 people. Help me out on the math. What is that, $2,250? Ish. Thank you, $2,500-ish for lunch. But we'll try to get that underwritten by a sponsor. Okay, the mic's coming around.
Okay.
Here we go, right here.
Maureen, Bayview Chapter. Thank you for your presentation. My question is this, or maybe it's more a comment than a question, but I'm really wondering, as we're moving into this cycle, it is a balancing act. I can see in some areas where it really enhances our mission to do this, because it makes us think very concisely and very specifically about who we are and what we're doing, and that cannot hurt, as I see it. On the other hand, I'm wondering how easy it will be to actually get sidetracked from our actual grassroots work and mission, and how much overall resource time and staff time and the president's time, the board's time, is going to be spent with this whole project.
Thank you so much. And that is an important question, and we handle that in Chapter 3, Organizational Development, where we look at the staff resources you have on hand, and then we look into the future 2 or 3 years and see what additional resources may need to be added. But we do work with what you already have, and we grow that. Okay, yeah, here we go. Is that Beth?
Yeah.
Oh, Beth.
Hi, I met you this morning. My question is that the name of your organization ends in association. Does that mean that you are a nonprofit?
Thank you. So I wear two hats. Right, only two. Sometimes it's more than that. Because I also have children, I am serving as president of the National Association of Nonprofit Organizations and Executives. We are a nonprofit, and we're working to transform the nonprofit industry. But that is on a macro level. On a micro level, I am senior counselor with Development Systems International. And so our work with CCB is done through Development Systems International. So I know it can be a little confusing in that I wear these two hats at the same time, but there's my work on the national level with NANO, but my work on the micro level with organizations, I work with roughly 4 to 5 organizations at a time on these campaigns, and that is the focus.
We have time. We have about 5 more minutes for questions.
Ted Clark, 2 questions, and I don't know if the first one you're ready to share yet. What is the goal that we're looking to raise? And then also, it would seem to me that there would be more millionaires in the Bay Area and L.A. opposed to Sacramento. I know you said we wanted to target Sacramento because this is where the office is, but I mean, just to me, there would be more millionaires in the Bay Area opposed to here.
Let me just answer that. We were very skeptical when we were at the presentation in November, and we made the presenter look up Sacramento just for the fun of it. And he found something like 100,000 people in the Sacramento area who had not only were millionaires, but who had homes worth $1 million. So we just said, you know what? Surely we can find, and we will be sending out invitations to about 2,500 people. So, you know, we'll move to the Bay Area. We'll move to Los Angeles, but we're just going to start in Sacramento where we got plenty of millionaires.
Yeah, and then to answer your, thank you, Judy, for that. And then to answer your question about the overall campaign goal, what that number is, we haven't determined that yet because we've got to look at what your total operational needs are for the next 3 years, your capital needs over the next 3 years in one-time projects. So it will be a couple of more months before I have that figure for you. But I can tell you this. We don't want you working hard today to pay for yesterday. We want you to not have to worry about paying the bills, to have money in the bank so that you can look into the future and continue to grow your mission. So that's where we're headed.
Yes. I can't think of a better place to end, can you? Thank you so much, Lewis. It has been a pleasure to spend the day with you. And Lewis will be with us. We're going to go around to a couple of the meetings, the 4:15 meetings. And let me just mention now that the Bylaws Committee, if any of you have got some concerns about the bylaws that we'll be working with tomorrow, the Bylaws Committee is having a special meeting this afternoon. There's the First Timers meeting. There's the transportation meeting. I think there's one more, and I'm... Ah, the guide dog walk. And it's a beautiful day, not like yesterday. So the guide dog, where are the guide dog walk people meeting?
Santa Rosa,
which is the guide dog. That's great. Now, it gives me, thank you again, Lewis. Let's give Lewis another hand.